In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The basis for our thoughts this morning are taken from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, through chapter 6, verse 10. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By endurance, in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Many of you just now are completing confessions too with the catechisms and the formative concord. Others of you are completing systematics too, in which you cover justification, conversion, and faith. Many of you have already finished those in years past. In those courses, no doubt, you discovered that we as Lutherans have learned how to sniff out and snuff out in our thinking and in our speech every form of Pelagianism, semi-Pelagianism, and synergism. That is to say, we categorically reject any human activity that might be regarded as a contributing cause or factor, no matter how minute, or might serve as the basis of our reconciliation with God and coming to faith. Indeed, we have good reason to sniff it out and snuff it out, for no greater concern do we have than that for the gospel. We desire that no human activity obscure the initiative of God, undermine the work of Christ, or deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We reject any human activity that would deprive people of the consolation offered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then along comes Paul. He urges and even pleads with Christians, with the Corinthians, be reconciled to God. These words seem odd, and not only because you have just finished taking confessions too and systematics too. They may seem odd and even contradictory after Paul's own emphasis in chapter 5 on the divine initiative. Perhaps they express, though, what one of my colleagues has come to call the paradox of total divine responsibility and total human responsibility. In Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself. Be reconciled to God. I would argue that far from smacking of even a hint of semi-Pelagianism or synergism, Paul's exhortation to the contrary affirms, presupposes, and requires the divine initiative and the universal character of divine reconciliation in Christ. In the verses preceding our text, Paul has brought the message that God has done something that amounts to universal amnesty for the entire world. God has granted a complete pardon to every sinner in the world. There are no exceptions. Now, this may not sound so odd to you and I, as accustomed as we are to hearing it day in and day out. But perhaps to capture something of the startling character of this message, we can use an extreme analogy and imagine for a moment that a person who is a member of the Al-Qaeda hears through an intermediary or a messenger that the American president has declared an amnesty for every member of Al-Qaeda. Thus the exhortation, lay down your arms, come out of your caves, return to your homes in peace. I suspect the most likely reaction would probably be, it's a trick. It's an attempt to draw us out into the open where we can be destroyed. After all, we've seen the bombs and the bullets. And after all, the American president has declared time and again that the Al-Qaeda is comprised of evil people bent on destruction, evil people who must be removed, evil people who must be terminated. Well, so it is with all humankind. No one is better than anyone else or less evil than anyone else, however evil they may be in this world, at least in God's eyes. Yet instead of dealing with an American president and the destructive power of the American armed forces, the human race must deal with the God and creator of all that exists, a God who declared that our hearts are evil from youth, a God whose law declares that the soul which sins must die. Life is experienced as a death of a thousand wounds. Every illness, every high blood pressure, every high cholesterol rate is one more contributing factor to the ultimate fact that we all must face, that we will die. And now God declares amnesty. Now God grants divine pardon to everyone. Is it possible? Is it believable? Is it genuine? Well, to that end, Paul establishes his credentials in our text and lays out the basis for God's amnesty. He declares himself to be the personal envoy of God. He's carrying out a diplomatic mission on behalf of God. So authoritative does he claim his message to be that he views himself as the personal mouthpiece of God. In chapter 6, verses 3 through 10, Paul then establishes his credentials by reciting virtues that would have been admired among both Greeks and Romans, virtues that highlight his credibility. And so to that end, Paul shows and discusses the great difficulties that he has endured for the sake of bringing the message of reconciliation to the Corinthians. These show and demonstrate that Paul is totally dedicated to God's message and has only the interests of the Corinthians at heart. This messenger has credibility. He is believable. But Paul does that only as step one. More importantly, in step two, his authority rings out in the words, be reconciled to God. Consider those words in the light of the last phrase of chapter 5, which emphasizes the reason for all God's action in Christ. It shows that God went to extreme lengths to reconcile us to himself. God went so far as to make Christ sin itself. You might say, as one commentator observed, that God made Christ the ultimate sinner. In doing so, God accepts responsibility for exposing Christ to the situation where all human beings, you and I, appear to be just and righteous, whereas Christ, through the cross, is identified as the ultimate sinner. It is upon this incredible action and event that we reflect this Lenten season. God did it for us. He did it not only to clear us of sin, but that we might enjoy the kind of life that is the opposite of sin and its effects. Thus, the exhortation, be reconciled to God, is not an exhortation for us to draw up a proposal for reconciliation with God. nor is it a plea that we make an appeasement offering or anything like that. The more human beings go that route, the more they become mired in their own sin. Instead, be reconciled to God because Christ has become the ultimate sinner that you might be righteous. That's sort of like proclaiming, stop running away from God. He is not chasing you in order to hunt you down and kill you. He is running after you to embrace you. Stop hiding from God. Come out of your caves. He is not seeking you out in order to capture and destroy you, but in order to take you home. Stop avoiding God. He is not looking to accuse you or to prosecute you. He has liberating words of acquittal. In other words, Paul's exhortation, be reconciled to God, presupposes entirely the divine initiative and the universal scope of God's reconciliation of the world in Christ. It's a way of saying it is safe to come out of the darkness and into the light of God's grace. The urgency of Paul's exhortation, now is the day of salvation, presupposes God's total responsibility of reconciling us to himself. There is no need to wait and see. There is no need to delay. Be reconciled to God. Listen to the word of amnesty and pardon. Let them sink in. Those words of God will grab you, console you, and revive you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.